Hey everyone, welcome back to the Rock Church Podcast. My name is Shane Beeson and you are listening to the Rock Church in Scottsbluff, Nebraska. Welcome. We're glad you're here. I hope you join us every week as we continue to dig in deeper to the messages that we talk about on Sunday. We have the typical crew here today, but let me introduce you to who's here today.
Jacob Krotzenberg.
Angie Preston.
Michael Erdman.
And so today I want to start off by correcting myself because I misquoted on Sunday, and we believe and are pretty passionate about correcting our mistakes and being open and authentic and honest about it. And sometimes when you're preaching, things just come out of your mouth that you didn't realize you said. And so I had mentioned in the first service, which was the live stream service, that it was 150 years between Daniel and Jesus. And for whatever reason, that came out of my mouth when it's really about 500 years. And so I was able to correct that in 11 a.m. service. But if you're out there listening today and you listen to the 9 a.m., I randomly said 150. And if you are listening today and you do public speaking, then you probably have done that yourself. And I hope that I have some grace from everybody out there, because randomly when you're talking, things just kind of come out and you're like, what? What was that? So anyways, 500 years between Daniel and Jesus.
At least 500 years.
And here's the deal. We are in the book of Daniel, which is why I'm even referencing that. You are joining in with our Babylon series, and we just had week three, which was all about Nebuchadnezzar's dream and Daniel's first moment of having an opportunity to seek God to exercise really a spiritual gift in this context. And so let's dig into it. Team, I'd love to ask you, what stood out this Sunday? What are some things that you were thinking about? What got you stirred up? How do you feel like it applies to your life today?
I think the thing that stood out to me the most was the way Daniel's confidence was in going to God and asking for the interpretation. He asked with expectation, knowing that God was able to give him this interpretation. He says, before he even goes to his friends, his companions, it says, he tells Arioch, just tell the king to give me a time and I'll be there to interpret the dream. And then he goes and says, hey, we need to pray and ask God in his mercy to show us this whole thing that the king's asking for. So he just expected, like, God's going to give us this interpretation. And it's God. It's not me.
And he had that go-for-it attitude, like that the risk-taking of, like, we're going to do it.
Yeah.
I'm going to take it's that step of faith. It reminds me of, like, Peter coming out of the boat. It's like, it's happening. It's going to happen. Here it goes.
Yep.
And then, like, allowing God to meet him in that step of faith. That's cool.
Yeah. So it goes with James, you know, ask God and expect that he's going to respond. Ask God and expect that he's there listening. And that was exactly what they did, even before, you know, the gift that we have with the Holy Spirit. So,
which to me is a testament of his relationship with God. You don't have that kind of boldness and faith without really knowing God. Yeah. And that, I feel, is a revealer of Daniel's closeness to him.
Yep. Amen. Preach.
I can't even think of the last time I was that bold that I was.
I was that expectant,
God's going to do it. Let's get it done anyway. I mean, there's times when I've had to be that trusting in God. Like, this is happening regardless. God, I'm going to let you take control. What happens, happens. Man, the faith that it takes to proclaim that, to believe that, to step out in it, especially with such high stakes. I mean, like, even Nebuchadnezzar's guards were like, this is just straight up not possible. And Nebuchadnezzar's like, all right, you're going to die. And Daniel shows up and he's like, look, I'll make it happen. Like, this is going to happen. Just put me in front of the king. It's going to happen. Knowing that if he's wrong or if it was unfavorable, Nebuchadnezzar might kill him on the spot for it.
Yeah.
So, like, just the bold faith that Daniel had too.
I like to see that in extreme situations, God has powerful like interruptions or provision. Yeah. Like it's cool how there's an extreme situation and then there's this extreme response by God to meet people there, and we see that throughout the Bible, you know, and a lot in Daniel's life. But yeah, I do love that. Part of me goes like, well, too, I'm thinking like, well, you're gonna die anyways.
May as well like, just go for
go
it.
Go big. Yep. Or go like you're not going home. Yep. So just go big.
You're not going home. Good in your situation, you're not going home.
Yeah, totally. So it's kinda cool to see that. I love that when that happens in modern day. I do love hearing stories of people stepping out in big faith and then hearing their testimony how God provided.
Well, and even the little steps of faith where there's like something that I'm just not sure about, like if I'm leading worship or if I have to preach or whatever it is, or if I'm relying on the Spirit of God to guide me in a certain situation, like mm-hmm. even those little steps of faith, being obedient, trusting in God, He provides. And then it's like, wow, it's so nourishing to your soul, and like it's empowering, and it renews a different type of faith in God. And then you think of the stakes that Daniel was in, and it's like, what must have he been feeling when that interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream was revealed?
Yeah, I mean, how cool is that? I going back to small steps of faith, I do appreciate how small steps of faith and seeing God's provision helps me make bigger steps of faith, and it helps build confidence in my relationship with the Lord. And so I think those small steps, if you're out there listening, it starts with that, like, you know, start with small steps of faith. And
it's like working a muscle. Like,
yeah,
you can't go to the gym and just go right away bench 450 pounds. Like, you probably got to start with just the bar.
And that reminds me of that idea of being faithful in a little. So when you see an opportunity to step in faith, and maybe it's lower risk at that time, and you choose to do that, you're faithful in it. And I think there's an aspect of in the New Testament, as it talks about being faithful in little and then seeing that increase, there is that principle that happens when we take small steps of faith and then we get bigger opportunities.
It's kind of like muscle memory. So yeah. If you choose at the beginning to use the wrong muscle, you're going to continue to strengthen Ooh. That wrong muscle and be like way out of whack.
And I see a parallel, because when you preached, you talk about setting the standard of honoring God and making the righteous decision when Daniel and the boys were asked to eat food sacrificed to idols. And it's there's so much that begins in the beginning. That first choice to exercise the right muscle is really important. And I want to encourage all of us in here and out there, like, you can make the choice to do that today.
And it's significant.
Yeah.
It's that initial decision triggers something in your brain too, of what am I supposed to do? It's easy to fall in line with that same thing over and over and over again. So fall in line with the correct
Make
thing.
The right
Be aligned
thing. Yeah.
From the start.
Yeah. Amen.
Because it is muscle memory.
It
like
is.
Lying or cursing or, yeah. I mean, pick whatever.
We know just psychologically what it does to the brain. Yes. It creates a neural pathway that makes that the thing.
The norm.
So if you're a habitual liar, you're going to just, it's going to be the
gets
thing
easier and
that
easier,
easier and easier and easier. So if you're somebody on the flip side that walks by faith and not by sight, or goes to God in all these situations in your life, every time you do that, it's not just something you think about to do and you do, but actually you're creating muscle memory in the sense that your brain is being wired to do that. And that's a powerful, powerful thing.
Definitely. It can be a stronghold, but also I don't know, the majority of humans have that stronghold or 17 that they struggle with, that, you know, even if you're 45 or 74 and you've been doing the same thing for that amount of time, God can totally switch that.
Yeah.
God can completely heal that. It also could just be a discipline that kicks your booty
mm-hmm.
and makes it, you know, I refuse to do this anymore and I'm going to shift. And it's difficult. And that's pain and that's suffering, if you will. And what is the outcome? because of your decision now. You have a lifetime of what it's done or what it's caused, maybe damage it's done, but what does today moving forward look like? Yeah. And I think that's an encouraging, I don't know, we get stuck in our ways and then it becomes an excuse and then we're like that 5-point harness situation. Then I'm just, well, I've already screwed up, so what you said, I'm already going to hell, so I may as well have fun doing it. Yeah. All of those scenarios go through our head and we're responsible
right
from today forward. So mm-hmm. are you going to keep making that decision because it's easy, or are you going to kind of have those corrective relational experiences?
That goes back to what
we
were talking about with like every choice matters and every choice has a consequence.
Those degrees shifts.
Yeah, and that's going back to just the context of doing this whole series is there's so many things about Babylon that are in our culture today. And what we're trying, one of the main things to glean from this series is how can we be in the world but not of the world, as like Jesus and Paul referenced in the New Testament, or what we said about Daniel is that Daniel lived in Babylon, but Babylon didn't live in Daniel. And those are choices. It goes back to what you were just talking about. Those are choices that we make throughout the day, every day.
Yeah.
Of what are we, who are we serving today? Are we going to serve somebody else? Are we going to serve ourselves? Are we going to serve God? In every little decision, are we making the choice to be comfortable and complacent, or are we making the choice to obey God? The same things are happening.
Yeah.
It's humanity. The same things are happening in our day that were happening in that day. And so to be aware of that.
Yeah, I think another a point that we've talked about several times, but in chapter 2, 17 through 20, when it's just talking about like you brought up your prayer team.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that the same, not just your prayer team, but who are your people that can course correct with you.
Yeah.
So I'm going to just use the example yesterday in our team meeting. I know I have a pattern of doing something
mm-hmm.
and I recognize that. And so I brought that to the team and I said, hey guys, I need you to help me. Is this the appropriate way to handle this situation? And I know that our team will tell me what the correct way is.
Yeah.
I can't quite trust myself because I've indoctrinated myself to do the same thing for years and years.
Right.
I'm bringing it to my people. Is this an appropriate response?
Mm-hmm.
There was correction and I like, it was great. It was edifying. It was so important for me to experience that in a safe place. And I think that's the same way with our prayer teams. When we're not sure, we bring it to our people and our people can confirm or correct.
Yeah.
And it's, you got to have people.
Yeah. And that takes work.
Daniel couldn't do it by himself.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe he could have done it by himself, but
he didn't. And I love that about that portion of chapter 2 in this process is he included his people and they became his prayer team. He didn't go into isolation and be like, oh, I'm going to stress on this and I got to seek God out. He went to his friends and said, let's pray.
That's I have to point out the humbleness of this entire situation
mm-hmm.
is he never once said, I have the answer. I can tell you what it is. Mm-hmm. I'm the one that's going to make this done. And his first thing that he says when he receives the interpretation after praising God and thanking him is, do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Like, save their lives as well. So mm-hmm. we're looking out for these other people who are part of this that are all going to be destroyed as well. And then
and
he
they're
goes
all
in.
Heathens, too. And
right.
so he could easily kind of take that path of
just
I'm the
us.
Righteous one,
yeah.
and then they're not. But he's not. He's like, no, we save everybody.
And never once is he looking for positions of power through this. He's saying the God has
Absolutely.
Revealed this to you. God is speaking to you. And it's always... like, his expectation is God is going to come through, but it's him and him alone. It's not on my shoulders, and he's speaking to you, and these lives need to be spared, and this is what he's telling you. And in that process, yes, he's promoted, But you look at the story of all the rest of the wise men, and their only goal is promotion and status.
Right.
And never once is he looking for that, even though he has the access to He's the only one
actually doing something.
Worthy of the promotion.
Yeah.
And so the humbleness of relying on God is, I think, a key factor in this is I will lean on God in all things, and I can just, you know, I can do all things.
I love, it reminds me of Paul. Paul's like, to be content in all things, whether in nothing or much, kind of aspect. And I feel like there was that in Daniel. Daniel's like, I'm not here for the promotion.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the point.
But what happened at the end of chapter 2 after he gave Nebuchadnezzar the interpretation? He got the promotion.
Not because he was seeking it. Yeah,
he
totally.
Was obedient to God.
Absolutely.
And
Where's your heart?
Yeah, told Nebuchadnezzar what God told him. And as a result, he got the promotion.
And it's good to say, hey, that doesn't always happen.
Right.
It happened in this story, but don't take this story.
And the promotion is not the goal.
Yeah.
Sometimes you die in the fire next week.
Sometimes you die.
So, yeah, that's, I mean, that's a huge point for our culture right now is celebrityism, something that we're supposed to be chasing as the reliant Christ follower.
Yeah. I think in the modern culture, especially Western, you know, American style culture, is like, I do something good, I get rewarded. And so, which, I mean, there's aspects of that that's true, but it's very transactional, yeah. But in Christendom, in the true following Christ, you might die. You might do something obedient and die.
And you die.
You might do something obedient, and you might get promoted, and your promotion isn't for your own gain.
It's influence for the kingdom of God.
Yeah, and we see that with Daniel. We see him continually serve. He has this servant heart. We have no scriptural backing that he used that for his own gain, but that he continually used that influence to glorify God. And we'll continue to see that as we go through this series. But so Nebuchadnezzar was a tyrant of tyrants, clearly. I mean, that there's that part of it. We talked about on Sunday the reality that that culture was full of demonic idol worship, and that there was power. Like these,
that was a big aha for me. Yeah, I appreciated you digging into that.
These sorcerers, magicians, the Chaldeans, they were known to operate in a type of power, just like Satanists or witches or whatever try and do today, medium, psychics, all that sort of stuff. There's real ones, there's fake ones. But what they don't realize is they're tapping into the supernatural, but they're tapping into demonic power, which is going to have a sense of truth in it with a whole lot of lie.
Smoke and mirrors.
So there's a lot of deception, a lot of manipulation. And what's cool about this moment with Daniel is Nebuchadnezzar is on this agenda of like, no, you're going to tell me the dream. I'm not going to tell you the dream and you interpret it, which that's what the Chaldeans and others are like. They're like, we're good at that. We can go seek our demon gods and get some really good interpretation. And Nebuchadnezzar's like, no, you're going to tell me the dream. And they're like, no man can do that. And I love that because God can do it. And God has a person, a remnant within this culture, a people with Daniel and his boys that are like, no, we know that God can do this, and they seek God, just back to what we were talking about. And I do want to highlight that Daniel hasn't done anything like this that we know of yet. So it has not been recorded that Daniel has special gifting or anything, and maybe he didn't. And maybe this is all about him seeking God for a moment, for a gift, for a moment. I don't know if, you know, obviously later on in his life, there's something that continues to build and grow in spiritual gifting. But up to this moment, it's like, we don't know this yet. It's like new. This is new information.
Yeah. I love playing Daniel in my head of like, you know, you figure out what this dream means. Is it, you know, God booming at you, or is it just like, bing, you know, what does that look like? And all of the scenarios are so fun.
Mm-hmm.
I love
that. Throughout the whole portion of scripture, yep.
Is it the download from God that you're like, oh, I know this is from God? Or is it like, I just know this. You know, I love thinking about that.
So I can only speak based on my own experience, which is you always know it's God. Somehow it has this constant knowing that it's from God. And then every time it's different. It's a little bit different. And so I'm guessing it was similar for Daniel, where there's all these different scenarios, different dreams, different prophetic visions throughout his life, and you're going, he, because of his relationship and these moments of stepping out in faith, he knows God. He knows when it's God, and yet it probably happens differently.
Yeah.
And so I can only imagine what this one experience was in this dream interpretation. And can we just talk about the so awesome that Jesus is in this dream? I don't even have words for it, but he immediately, he's talking about the king, like God's kingdom, and how it will appear in this Roman era. And through Jesus, the rock, it will start with the rock. The rock will crush the feet. And then it goes on to say it's going to crush all of the statue. And then it's going to grow into this, this continual growing kingdom, this mountain that takes over everything, which we know oftentimes these God speaks a lot through imagery throughout Scripture. And then there's meanings to that. And so there's this rock that crushes, ends up, you know, destroying the statue. And then there's this mountain, which represents this governmental ruling authority that will take over.
And immovable.
Yeah, and immovable. And it's just cool, the rock part to me, because it's like not made by human hands, it says. It's just, it's not the whole mountain. It's a piece of the mountain. And it comes and destroys the statue. And something we could talk about too is Nebuchadnezzar hears this dream and then he's like, cool, I'm the head of gold. It's kind of the, like, he doesn't even listen to the point. He doesn't
Did
even
you
understand
not
the
hear
point.
The clay feet.
Yeah.
Part.
Yeah. And like what happens after you, he's like, he's only concerned. And we're going to talk about this coming week. Michael's going to bring the message about the fiery furnace and, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego and that experience, because Nebuchadnezzar ends up building essentially this statue, trying to build it in real life. But it just shows you how far off Nebuchadnezzar is. He goes, at the end of this interpretation by Daniel, he bows and he gives glory to God. And he's like, your God is truly the one true God. And then, boom, the next thing you know, he's like, look at this statue I built.
Well, and he'll go for it.
Which I think talks, like, really importantly to discernment and then also, like, having a prayer team. Because this was the word of God, but Nebuchadnezzar took it in the wrong way. And then there's some people who have dreams and they're like, oh, Satan's trying to attack me. I'm like, maybe God's trying to talk to you and you just don't know how to interpret it. Yeah.
Like, or they get a dream and then they're like, I'm supposed to, they falsely interpret it because they don't have their team around them to help them with wisdom and, like, discernment.
Yeah. And God wants me to be this big golden mountain. No, that's not what he was saying in the dream.
Well, and I, you know, sadly, I've seen that a lot in my life where something has happened like that. They have a dream or they feel like God is saying something and they do something radical and it sounds really good. But anybody with discernment around is like, no, that's not what that means. Don't do that. And then sadly, I've watched people go and just totally blow up their life because of a bad interpretation.
And you follow it back to the dream that this person had and you realize that they didn't consult anybody.
That is exactly the point.
Yeah.
Your isolation gets twisted.
Yeah.
And when you have people around you, you have different points of view. You have different, you know, spiritual giftings, different maturity levels. And if you do that on your own, any example in life, your inner monologue is wrong most of the time. Like, let's be real. it gets twisty and turny real fast.
And I talked
fast.
About a dream that I had and that I was incredibly disturbed by. I talked about that on Sunday. And I went that morning to my prayer team and I immediately consulted them. Yep. And they were praying with me to have the proper interpretation. And they gave me insight. They started asking questions. Well, what did you see in the dream? And I got confirmation or correction
sharpening
off of those people that I trust. And that's so important, because if you go respond without praying through it or without going through some counsel with some people that you trust, it is really easy to make a big mistake. Mm-hmm. And sometimes God's showing you something in the dream, for example, but he's actually showing you what the enemy is doing, so you know what's coming against you or whatever the scenario is. And some people, especially if they interpret it wrong, they think they take what the enemy is doing in the dream and they either say it's from God or they try and duplicate it in their own life. I mean, it's really, God wants to speak to us in dreams. We talked about that on Sunday is, in the last days, it shall be that my spirit will be poured out on flesh. That's what Joel chapter 2 says and what Peter quotes on the day of Pentecost. And part of the last days is dreams and visions, mm-hmm. and men and women and young and old. And it doesn't matter if you're poor or rich, God is going to be speaking to us in these ways. And so those listening out there, you probably have had dreams and you know, I bet you as I'm talking and you're thinking about it, you can recall these dreams right now because they've had a significant impact on you. And maybe you don't have an interpretation. Maybe you did. And maybe you tried to respond on that interpretation and it was wrong and you responded improperly. But I'm going to take this back to Daniel because Daniel didn't go into isolation. He went to his friends first and they prayed together. And it's important to have that partnership.
Well, and I think speaking about dreams, there's you said it really well on Sunday. It's stewarding that dream is important.
Yes.
And so
yes.
A lot of times, I think the dreams are meant for God's communication with you.
Yeah.
It's that personal connection. And I always, I go to Joseph, all right?
Right.
We go to Joseph, and he gets a dream.
Great example.
And then he creates a wedge in his family because he just blurts out this dream to his brothers and his dad.
Hey, you're going to bow down to me.
And they're you know what, dude?
I don't like him.
Yeah. Let's you pompous little brother. And so it was meant for him, and it ended up coming to pass anyways, right? But it wasn't stewarded well. And so not every dream is meant to be a prophetic for everybody. Not every dream is meant to be just for you. And that goes to Daniel. How well do you know God?
Yeah.
How well do you know how he's speaking to you? How well do you know the communication? And I think that's another aspect of this entire thing is if we're going to talk about it, you need to know how to steward it well.
Yeah, and I like what you're saying is know who you should talk to about it. Mm. This goes back to the prayer team. Don't go blurt it all around. I immediately, my mind goes to this, don't cast your pearls before swine phrase that Jesus uses in the New Testament. It's a different context, but the point is don't share these treasured things with people that are not ready or don't deserve to hear it. And this could be used in various contexts in our life.
Well, let's say you won a massive lottery and you don't want to blow it all right away. You want to be wise with it. And so who are you going to go talk to? No, you're not going to talk to your McDonald's cashier. you're going to go to
a financial advisor. Cashier, by the way.
Knock to that. But that's not where their expertise lies.
Exactly.
It's in managing a gigantic amount of money. No, you're going to go to someone who has training and wisdom
of
how to use that and to grow it and to make sure it stays safe. And
that's a great like metaphor to it, because when I have a really important dream, I'm thankful to know who I can go to with it at the time.
You have to take it to the right people
and then they help you steward it if it's the right people. And so I know that's a great point.
And it goes back to being humble. Like, what is the purpose of this? Is it a revelation to me? Is it a revelation to help somebody else? Your dream with your coworker was a prime example. Like, this was meant to save possibly her life.
Yeah.
And the humbleness of it is a big key. It's not to stand on the podium and say, I have a dream. This is for you and your benefit because God loves you. Or it's for me and my benefit because God loves me.
And we see that. You're talking about giving glory to God. And that's something we see in this example from Daniel, from like verses 24 into like 28 mm-hmm. is he is humble and he gives glory to God. And what's sad about some, I'll say sects of Christianity is it's like you have this immaturity where somebody gets a dream. They're like, hey, God's speaking to me. Hey, I got a dream. Yep. Check out my dream.
Look
check
at
out
me.
My dream. Look at me. Look at me. And there's I'm a lot a of prophet. Times where you should not share your dream. Actually, most of the time, most likely you shouldn't. And it's that humility of giving God glory, involving the right people. Why did he give you the dream? What's going on? What is he trying to speak to you? And it goes back to that humility that you're talking about. And giving glory to God. And then if you are supposed to share a dream, it needs to be done in the most, think of the best stewardship, discretion, and honoring God you can think about, that humility. Because if it's a dream meant to be shared, it's not about you and it's not for you. It's for others and to give glory to God. And we talked about that on Sunday is like our spiritual gifts, this we could just say this is to edify us, it's to edify the church, and it's to reach the lost. And yeah. And God, sometimes you'll have a dream, and it's for you to know what's going on. You're not supposed to share it. Sometimes you have a dream, and it's to share with a friend, or it's to pray for a friend, or it's to bring your prayer team in on. And then sometimes, and I shared an example on Sunday where God actually used the dream to essentially reach the lost with it and show someone that God loves them, knows who they are, cares about them by sharing the dream with them. By the way, nobody knew that until I shared that Sunday. This was years ago that this happened, and I had only to that point shared it with that one individual. And the only reason why I shared the dream and this story was simply to encourage people that God will speak to you and to reach the lost, and he will use your spiritual gifts to reach the lost. So I want to encourage people. Your spiritual gifts partly are to edify the church and to reach the lost, but it's not for your attention. It's not for your celebrity. It's not for you being built up. It's to heal and help people, which is key. So if you're out there and you have spiritual gifts, please check yourself. Please think back and say, hey, are there times or areas where I've tried to glorify myself or bring attention to myself in this. And I'll be honest, there have been times for me, and this goes back to what you're talking about, and making good decisions and building right neural pathways, because I'm better now than I was at going like, how do I share this? How do I do it in humility? How do I make sure this isn't about attention on me? And we want to keep the attention in the right places so it can have the maximum impact.
Yep. Yep. And that's, I know in my own life, I'm not a dreamer, but I've had a dream that I know is something God spoke just to me. Yeah. And he's revealed over time, this is coming true. This is coming to pass. And I told you X amount of years ago. It's this healing thing in my own life. And that's the purpose. Spiritual gifting, it's never about my ministry. Mm. It's about the kingdom of God.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I would encourage you out there. Sometimes dreams are just is bad pizza kind of a thing. and you'll start to know if you steward dreams well, you'll know when it's God or God's allowing you to see something that's a ploy of the enemy, or you have a dream where it is your brain processing, but with the Lord, you can learn about what's going on in your life and how to make corrections or change based on the things you're dreaming about. So just be aware of that. I think it's a really powerful ability and gifting when you are somebody that dreams and keep a dream journal. People came up to me after Sunday and were talking about dreams, and I said, hey, write them down.
Yeah,
because a lot of times you remember the most significant parts, and then you forget nuance. And I've gone back into my dream journals and read stuff, and I'm like blown away by now that it's years later going, that exact thing happened. Like, and I had forgotten about that, but I go back, and what it does is it builds my trust and faith in who God is and how he speaks to mm-hmm. us, and it's really cool.
Well, and I would never want to downplay someone's dream or tell them that they're incorrect about something, unless they're obviously incorrect. But I don't want people to over spiritualize things either.
Yeah.
Like all of creation has God's thumbprint on it. So there is something that can be learned about God from everything in creation.
Mm.
However, it could just be bad pizza that you ate, and so you're having funny dreams now.
Yeah, for sure.
So there is, I want to encourage people, there is something that you can learn about God and God's will and God's character and God's creation in everything that you experience in your dreams and in everyday life. But I also don't want you to hear this message that we're telling you and go and try to interpret everything you dream about.
No, that's
be wise. There's balance.
Can we bring this part in, which is accountability? So if you develop a team, your prayer team, give people the permission and the boldness to say, no, that's not, like, allow them to correct you. You might be hyped up on something, but allow somebody to bring the wisdom of going, like, you know what? I see and hear what you're saying. However, my discernment is telling me, no, you're over spiritualizing this, or you're, you know, like, give people that access in your life to bring a level of correction so that
it's not just a yes people.
Yeah, don't get yes people.
Yeah.
Like, don't, it shouldn't just be yes people.
You want cheerleaders, but you also need people that are willing to cut you down a little bit. Like,
absolutely.
for your growth.
For your own good.
Prune you. I'm going to cut you down for a little bit.
Yeah, and it's important for us to have those people in our life, because we need to be able to say, hey, bro, I hear you. I understand how that dream would have felt significant. And be careful, because the enemy likes to twist stuff too, and we need discernment, and don't hyper-spiritualize this, and that's why we need that team.
Yeah.
And give, it's important, if you're going to have that team, give the team permission to correct you, you know?
Yeah, look for someone who's going to celebrate with you, but look for someone who's going to coach you because they care about you.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, for sure. Awesome.
I love when it just stops.
Yeah, we kind of know. Like, I think we're like, all right, we let all the air out of the balloon. It's kind of like,
it's good.
We'll edit that out.
No, leave it in. Leave it in.
Well, thanks everyone for joining us today. It's been a great day today, and we're looking forward to the message brought by Pastor Michael this coming Sunday. We're going to get into the fiery furnace.
So cool.
Mike, what are you thinking about for Sunday?
I love this story. It's something that's resonated in my heart for years and years and years. And just the boldness of the stance that these three boys take in following God. Nothing will shake them. They will not budge. And they know that he is the way, regardless of what will happen. Mm-hmm. And stand by for more downloads of that one. But
yeah, it's going to be a good Sunday. You can join us in person at 9 a.m. or 11 a.m. Or if you'd like to join us live stream, we will be live streaming at 9 a.m. May God bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen.